I'd just like to take a moment to say thank you to my pastor.
Bless you.
Over the years, we have grown. And I've grown to truly respect and love who he is. I love you, Pastor.
Bless you.
I love him because he's a type of person that gives you the opportunity to use what God has given to you.
Amen.
And so many times we go through life and we will not allow our brothers and sisters to use the gifts that God has given them.
Amen.
So we have to get to the point where we realize that this is not about us.
Right.
It's all about God and what we do for God.
Amen.
You know, I've seen over the years being in this congregation, I've seen people come and I've seen them go. I've seen people come and build up, and I've seen people come and they tear down. But the God that I serve is the true and living God. And the only thing that he wants from us is that we learn to walk after him. Not after man, but after him. And when we begin to put him first, then you begin to see a change. Not just a change in the ones around you, but even in yourself. So God is good. I just had to say that because it was on my heart. Because God is a God that's forever changing us from that old man to that new man if we allow him to. Today our scriptures are going to come from John chapter 10. It's going to start with verse 7. And Dr. Price is going to read that. That's John chapter 10, starting with verse 7. And I believe it goes all the way through to 18. Verse 18. So when you have that, will you please say amen?
John chapter 10, beginning at verse 7. I'll be reading from the New King James Version this morning. And our scriptures read as follows. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of them of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father."
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. The topic that I'm going to be speaking from today is going to be the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. I'm going to go to a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask God to deliver this message and deliver this word. My Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just come before your throne of grace. Father God, you are mighty God. You are powerful God. You know all things. Father, you know what your sheep need right now at this point in time. So, Father, I ask that you speak a word, Lord. I ask that you speak to them, Father God, so they may hear, they may receive, and they may understand. So allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to flow through this place. Allow your Holy Spirit, Lord God, to divide the word. Oh, Father God, I just ask that you remove me out of the way. Because, Father, I don't know anything. I'm just a tool, Lord, to be used by you. So, Father God, have your way, Lord, in this situation. Have your way. In your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I have so many things that I see that God shows me all the time. But, you know, sometimes we don't believe that God is still speaking. We don't believe that God is telling his people which way to go. We don't believe it. And the reason we don't believe it is just like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They did not have the heart of God. They did not have the love of God. They did not know him. And when you don't know anybody, then you're not able to receive anything because you don't know them. And when you don't know somebody, then you begin not to trust them. And when you don't trust somebody, you cannot receive what it is that they're trying to give you. So what the Holy Spirit was showing me here in this passage, it starts by saying, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, we know by reading our scriptures that Jesus is our shepherd. Because when you go over there in 23rd Numbers of Psalms, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So he's letting us know that he is our shepherd. And then I begin to look at what is a shepherd. A shepherd is someone who protects the flock. The shepherd is someone who leads and guides the flock. That's who a shepherd is. The shepherd is someone who also, when we go astray, will come and find us. That's who the shepherd is. And I'm so thankful to know that we serve a shepherd like that, a shepherd that cares about who we are. And then he tells us, he says, all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now, I thought about that. When you go back and you look at your scriptures in the Old Testament, how the Sadducees and the Pharisees were Jewish people, and they were the people that God had set aside. But they didn't hear Jesus when he came. They didn't receive him when he came. Why? I begin to look at that. Somewhere down the line, they missed out on the history. They missed the history lesson. See, they were looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. They were looking for Jesus to come in all the wrong ways. But see, if you read your history and you know your history, you knew that Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem. But if you continue to read your scriptures, you know that Jesus has always been, because he didn't begin in Bethlehem. Now, the story of Bethlehem was to let us know that the Messiah was coming, and he was coming that way. So we should have been able to recognize when they were telling the story here in John about how Jesus came onto the scene and it painted the picture of who he was, they would have been able to recognize him as the Messiah. If they had known their history. But because you don't know your history, you get a chance to repeat this stuff over and over. See, that's why it's so important for us to teach our children their history, to teach them where they come from, to teach them what happened, to teach them how they got to the point we are now. Because, see, they think that it's always been this way. But it has not always been this way. We had some hard times. We had some scars. We had some battles. We had some storms that we had to go through. Same with Jesus. He had some battles. He had some storms. He had people following him for all kind of reasons. But they wasn't following him because they wanted to know him. They were following him because they wanted what he had to offer. So what I want to know is, why are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus for the right reason? Are you following him because of what he can do for you? We have to look at our hearts, and we have to know what we're doing and why we're doing what we're doing. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. Now, I like that. When I take the time to get to know who Jesus is, when I take the time to ask Jesus to come into my life, when I ask Jesus to make me all over, he's promised me something here. He said, I will be saved. Why? Because I have taken the opportunity to look at myself. I have taken the opportunity to go to him and repent and ask him for forgiveness. I have gone to him and asked him to come into my life. And when I asked him to come into my life, because he loves me so much, guess what he did? He came into my life. Did Jesus come into your life? Have you invited him into your life? See, he is not going to force his way through. He's not going to break the door down. He's not going to do that. He wants us to come freely to him and offer ourselves to him. He said, what? As a living sacrifice. That means I present my whole being, my whole body, my whole essence, everything I presented to God. And when I do that, he promised me some green pastures. When you talk about fine pastures, that's what he's talking about. He's telling me that some good things now are about to happen for me in my life. Yeah. Now, I've been going through this life with all kind of bad things happening. No way to turn, no way out. Didn't know how I was going to make it to the other side. Sometimes no food on the table, no clothes on my back, not even a roof over my head. But when I came into the knowledge of Christ, I learned how to cry out to him. I learned how to cry out and say, Lord, have mercy. I learned how to cry out and say, Lord, I need your help. I learned how to cry out to him and say, Lord, I depend on you and I can count on you. Why? Because now I know who you are. You are that good shepherd. You are the one that provides for me. That's who you are. And then it says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, who is this thief? Who is this thief that Jesus is talking about? See, we don't want to accept it. We don't want to believe it, that this thief even exists. That's why he's able to work his magic in your life. Because you want to pretend like he don't exist. But he's there. He's lurking in the shadows. He's waiting for you. Just a little crack is all he needs. And when he gets that little crack, he slivers in. And then that little crack begins to be a big crack. Because you allowed him entrance to come in. But let me tell you, you have a tool. And let me tell you, you have power. That you can say, Satan, get behind me. Satan, you have no place in my life. Satan, move on. And let me tell you one thing. When you tell Satan boldly to go in Jesus' name, he got to go. He can't stand. He got to go. Open your mouths and rebuke him out of your life. Open your mouths and tell him he got to go. He can't stay. Because he will do exactly what the scriptures say. He will kill you. He will kill your witness. He will kill your testimony. He will kill you. He will do that. And then it says that not only will he kill, but he will destroy you. Jesus will destroy who you are. He will let somebody come in your ear and start talking to you about stuff that they shouldn't be talking to you about. And you thinking, well, I'm strong enough, I can hear this mess, and I can get through it. But let me tell you one thing. Satan will take that little bitty mess that person has put in your ear and make it become a big thing. Then all of a sudden, you're not acting like yourself no more. You acting like them. Because you have picked up and allowed that spirit to come in that is not you. You got to be careful who's in your ear. You got to be careful who's telling you something. You got to be careful. That's why God tells us to guard our minds and guard our hearts. Because that heart can be changed to evil. You think you're doing the right thing. You're allowing somebody to talk to you about somebody else. You're backbiting. You're tearing people's character down. All this kind of stuff. And guess what? You think it's okay. You think it's all right. But let me tell you what the Word of God says. The Word of God says if you got a problem with your brother or your sister, he said, you go to him. You go to him. Don't have nobody come to you and tell you something about somebody else. Amen. When they do that, now you know what to tell them. It seemed like you got a problem with her. You got a problem with him. The Word said you need to go to him. And guess what's going to happen? The chatter and the mess is going to stop. Why? Because now they don't have a listening ear. They don't have somebody standing there listening and going along with their mess. Because mess begets mess. Amen. And we got to understand that we got to learn how to walk away from that stuff. Yeah. And then it says, I have come that you may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. Lord God, when I thought about that, think about it for a moment. God is telling you, when you become his and he's yours, he's going to give you life. And it's different from the life that's in the world. He said, I'm going to give you life that is more abundantly. That means it's better than the rest. Can't nobody beat that. Can't nobody beat that God has for you. Except you. You can close God's heart. You can close his mind. You can do that by continuing to walk in your iniquities. But when you begin to shake this stuff off, like he says, shake it off like the dust. When you begin to shake it off and you begin to reshape your mind, you begin to reshape your pattern, you begin to walk after Christ, you begin to look like him, you begin to talk like him, you begin to act like him. See, people don't want to be around you then. You're no fun. All you're talking about is Jesus and what Jesus can do for you. But I stop by to tell you, I'm happy to talk about Jesus and what Jesus can do for me. Because I know what Jesus can do. I know what Jesus will do. Jesus will set you free. He will do that. And guess what? He will not leave you alone. He will not plant you in the middle of a trouble zone and walk away. But that person that's talking in your ear will sit you in the middle and then walk away and leave you right there by yourself. God is a good God. He said, I am the good shepherd. He said, the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Did not Jesus do that? Did not Jesus go to cross for us? And guess what? He even went for those of us who did not even believe in him yet. Now that is a good shepherd. He took care of all the sheep. When he died, he took care of all of us. Amen. And some of us still have not learned the lesson. Some of us still has not realized what that cross was all about. Some of us have still not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior over our lives. Yeah. We're still walking in darkness. We're still walking in our mess. We're still walking in it. Why? When somebody died for you and they gave their lives for you, they gave you an opportunity to be brand new. Yeah, amen. I'm so thankful that he died for me. I'm so thankful that he gave me an opportunity to be made brand new. Amen. Don't reject Christ. No. Accept all that he has to offer. He has a lot to give. He has a lot to offer. And guess what? You don't even have to beg him for it. He will give it to you freely. Why would he do that? Because he wants you to be better. He wants you to be better day by day. He wants you to know the truth. And the whole truth is, he said, the only commandment that I give for you is to love. I said, Lord, why did you say that one after all the other commandments, and you say to love. You know why? Because when you love like God loves, you look over a lot of stuff. You look over a lot of stuff. When you love like God loves, and that person is trying to tear you down, that person is treating you bad, that person is talking to you crazy, that love that God has would just begin to come out, and you begin to laugh. And they begin to look at you and say, what's wrong with that food? Why are they laughing? I'm laughing because I know I've overcome. So when you've overcome something, Jesus said through him, we can overcome the world. So when I have overcome this world, because I follow after Christ, I'm going to love you in spite of. I'm going to love you. I don't care what you do. Because why? Jesus told me I have to love you. If I want to open my eyes in heaven, I have to do what Jesus say do. And he say, love your enemies. Love those who despise and mistreat you and misuse you. He said to love them anyway. I'm going to love you anyway. I don't care what you do. I'm going to love you. You know why? Because Jesus is my light. Jesus is my salvation. Jesus is my strength. And Jesus is my way. And if he is not your way today, you need to change your mindset. You need to ask Jesus, Father, I've been walking this walk for 20 plus years, and I still feel like I'm stuck in the same old place. You know why you're stuck? Because you have not said, Jesus, forgive me for all that I've done. Jesus, forgive me, and please, Jesus, come into my life. Please, Jesus, change me from who I used to be. Please, Jesus, make me brand new. Please, Jesus, clean up my heart. Please, Jesus, I need you. And when we begin to talk to God like that, guess what God will do? He will do just what you ask him to. He will clean you up. He will change you. And people will start telling you, you don't act like you used to act. Girl, come on, let's go to the club and have a drink. No, girl, I don't do that no more. That's not even in my DNA. You're going to lose some people along the way following Christ. But some people you need to drop off. If people are coming in your life and changing you from who you are, take a hard look at yourself. Because now they're making you to be just like them. We don't want to look like nobody else but Jesus. We don't want to act like nobody else but Jesus. I'm so thankful that I serve a God like that. But 12 says, but a harlot, he who is not the shepherd. That means there's anybody else that's coming in telling you stuff that you know that's not of God. That's telling you to hate her. Telling you don't like him. Anybody telling you that, that's not God's way. That is not of God. So don't fool yourself and pretend like God's speaking to you to tell you to hate Sister Cassie over there. Sister Cassie haven't done anything to you. Amen. But you hate her anyway. Oh, I just don't like how she look. I don't like how she dressed. She thinks she better than anybody else. If God elevates somebody and make you look at them, he's trying to tell you something. And it says, the harlot flees because he is a harlot and does not care about the sheep. And this is the thing you need to understand. That person don't give a about you. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. When you belong to Jesus, you know him. You know his voice. He knows you, and he knows your voice and your ways. See, that's the difference. You know if you belong to Jesus when you're doing something wrong. You know it. Because he's going to beat you up with it. He's going to knock you all upside your head, telling you that you're wrong, and you know it. But we get so stubborn that we don't want to admit our wrongdoings. So what do? We keep walking in it. I remember this as a child. It was just so funny to me. But I remember as a child, the old people used to be sweeping, and you know, they'd have the wood floors, and then they have the rug on top of the floor. And so they would sweep the dust up. And they'd raise up that rug and sweep that dust under that rug. Okay, gone about their business. So here come another lie. We raise up the rug and we sweep it under the rug. Then we go a little bit further. Something else come up. We're talking about somebody. We raise up that rug and sweep it under the rug. All of a sudden, you got a pile of mess there. Now all of a sudden, something is coming back at you. It's coming at you. And you sitting there saying, okay, well, what did I do, Lord? I didn't do nothing. I didn't do nothing. Why is this coming at me? But what you fail to realize, you told a lie on somebody. You caused that person to stumble because you didn't help them to grow. And guess what else you did? You did not go back and say, God, please forgive me for what I did. You just kept piling it on and kept piling it on and kept piling it on until now it become to the point where they say mess stinks. That's where you are. And your whole life around you is falling apart. But you know what I love, though? God is a God even with all our mess.
Yes, he will.
When we come to him honestly and ask him to forgive us for what we've done, you know what he will do? He'll forgive us. But then when he forgives us, he'll say this, go and do it no more. Now that no more part is the part that we mess up on. Because we don't hear that side of it. All we hear is, you've been forgiven. But we didn't hear that side where he said, don't do it no more. We gotta keep it together. We got to ask for forgiveness, and then we have to not do it no more. Amen. Because that's where our blessings come, amen, when we learn to do what God says do. Amen. And then he says, as the Father knows me. Thank you, Lord. And you know why I'm happy about that? Because he and the Father are one. So even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now, what he was talking about in here, he's talking about those of us who are the Gentiles, who are not a part of the original Jewish family that God had called. He's bringing us into the fold. Amen. So don't let nobody tell you because you're not Jewish that you don't belong to Christ. Because, see, people will tell you that. He was only talking about the Jewish people. You're not Jewish, so that doesn't include you. Have you heard that before? People will say that, but this is what God has brought you into the fold. He's letting you know that you are going to be mine when you accept me as Lord and Savior of your life. Amen. This is what he's saying. And what he's saying here, I like this. Although we're going around here causing division and separating by running our mouths and saying nasty things, this look what God says here in 17. He said, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. He said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Now, let me go back up one, because this is the one part I want you to hear. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. So what does that tell us? One day, we all gonna come together. And we gonna all be under one God.
Amen.
So that's telling us that we need to fall in line now. We need to fall in line and come together. We need to fall in line and love one another. Because God is coming back. And he said he's coming back for a church without a spot or wrinkle. Now, how do you not have a spot or wrinkle? The only way you cannot have a spot or wrinkle is that Jesus has covered you with his blood. And the only way that Jesus would cover you with his blood is that you have accepted him as Lord and Savior over your life. God is a good God, and he don't make any mistakes. But then I like this part, because people will tell you quick that they took Jesus' life. But when you know the truth, at any moment in time, Jesus could have said, enough is enough. And everything that existed could have been gone. But because he loved us so much, but he wants you to know, they didn't take my life. I laid my life down. Now, when you think about that, now Jesus on the cross, and we see the story where they marched him through courthouse, and this and that, and he didn't say a mumbling word, and they did all these things to him, and they pierced him in his side, nailed him to that cross. But remember this, at any moment, Jesus could have said enough. But he loved us so much that he was being obedient to his Father's will. Why do we think we don't have to be obedient to God? If Jesus was obedient to his Father unto death for us, then what about us? What about us? We got to walk in it, people. We got to walk in what God is telling us. We got to walk in love. We got to walk in peace. We got to walk in hope. We got to walk in it. Don't let nobody else destroy your life. Don't let anybody else put out your light. Don't do that. If God has given you a light to shine, let that light shine. And don't let anybody come in and try to put out your light. Because your light will help somebody else. And trust me, Satan don't want your light to shine. So my Heavenly Father, Lord God, Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, that somebody, Father God, today has been blessed. That somebody, Lord God, has received what thus says the Lord. That somebody will change your lives and change your ways. Father God, I just ask you to have mercy, Lord God. Father God, we thank you and we love you, Lord. We love you, Father. And I know that you gave your life for all of us. And we thank you. We thank you for your shed blood. We thank you for what you did on the cross. We thank you, Father. We pray this prayer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Now, the doors of the church is now open. And I'm going to ask you, anybody that will, if you feel like that your life can be made brand new, even if you've been walking in it for 20, 25, 30, whatever plus years, and you know that you have not been walking after Christ, and you want to turn your life around, that you now give your life, your true life, your whole life over to Christ, I'm going to ask that you come right now. Even if you've been baptized, even if you think that you know, but you're really not sure that Jesus is the head of your life, I ask that you come right now. Because, see, Jesus don't want any of us to leave the same way we came in. He don't want any of us to perish. He said that is not his will. His will is that none of us be lost. The world has a way of trying to fool you, to make you think that you're doing things the way God would have you to do it. Because he said he has sent in false teachers among us, teaching us everything except what God says. But I want you to know that God is still in control and that God will make a way for you out of no way. But you must turn your whole life over to him. Not just a piece of it, but your whole life, your whole being. So that when you call upon God, that you know, he's going to come see about you. See, that's what I walk in when I walk in that abundance. I know when I call on God, he's going to come see about me. Why? Am I special? No. But what I have is a relationship. And that's what we need. We need a relationship. We don't just need to know who he is. We need to have that relationship that we know that he loves us, that we know that he is going to come see about us. So I ask you today, if you're in here, if you just want to even just renew your life with Christ, come to him. Come to him right now and let him know, I want to start over. I want to be made new. God is able to do that for you today. Those of you who are watching online, I just ask you the same thing to ask Christ to come into your life. Ask him to make you brand new. Ask him to make you like he would have you to be. Not as the world would have you, but as God would have you to be. And I guarantee you that he will do just that. God is a good God. He loves us so much. And if you don't believe he loves you, you go to the cross. You let him nail your hands to the cross. Let him nail your feet to the cross. That's got to be some love. Because I know if I stick myself with a pin, that hurts. Jesus suffered many things for us because he loved us. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huffsmith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m., with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, "We are the branch, but He is the vine."